So we are in this season of prayer. It feels significant. It feels significant to me. I think it's really important we pray at this time. I don't know as pastor, I probably won't do it, but I was probably praying myself here. I don't know as pastor whether I've ever known in 14 years just quite so many people like significantly ill. I'm not accrediting the enemy with that, but I think there is equally mischief afoot as well. So Lord, we just pray now, protection over this flock. We bind any purposes of the enemy here, and we loose the kingdom of health and joy and peace and resolve and resilience and breakthrough and victory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, let's keep praying for that. So we are season of prayer. We're going through the Lord's Prayer. We're into the kind of second series of petition. The first petitions are that God's kingdom would come, his name would be hallowed, his will be done. And then God himself, through the person of Jesus, if you don't know, you're visiting us and you're not aware of that, Jesus was God. He's your answer. If you're looking for answers in life, you're not sure of your foundation, you're not sure of your purpose, Jesus is the answer. And you'll find everything you need in him. It will still be tough, there'll still be challenges, but you'll find everything you need in him. And so we're on Matthew 6:11 this morning. So let's read this in the context of the Lord's Prayer. Let's read the Lord's Prayer together. So the disciples in Luke, it says, they came and asked him how they should pray. And he says, this then is how you should pray. Let's read this together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Erica's got a great verse next week around debt, sin, and forgiveness. There we go. So don't stay away just because you think you need to forgive someone, all right? Because you want to stay angry. Come. Anyway. So we're looking this morning at give us today our daily bread. And as I kind of thought about this, I thought there is a sense in which probably here in our, you know, wealthy West, some of us may think this a bit irrelevant. We may find it, you know, how do I connect with this verse? Even a bit twee, give us today our daily bread. That was a time, you know, when daily bread, you know, people had to rely on the elements, the weather, the seasons for literally their daily bread. But, you know, we kind of move past some of that. And there's a sense in which we have moved past those physical needs, although, as we'll come to, that is still the case in some parts, even in this country. But there is in this verse an antidote, a counter to a very prevalent, I think, mindset in the West. In fact, most of this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is revolutionary. It is counter-cultural when you get a hold of this. And this morning, this verse is no different. And we see this mindset, perhaps, that we've been infected with in the West here. It's hinted at in Deuteronomy 8. So we're just going to have a look at that. I do apologize. I think I've probably made the font a bit small, but I'll read it anyway. So it's a little bit of a long reading, but we're going to go with this. I just think there's a lot in this. So this is Moses speaking to Israel before they're entering into their inheritance. And he says, be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord has promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble you and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. Are you going through testing now? Some of it, the Lord believes you're equal to that challenge. He's testing you. He's going to bring out the best in you. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Goes on. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks and streams and deep springs. This is counter to the desert they've been in, gushing and into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will not lack. You will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. And when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart, if you forget all these commands, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. Last section. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you'll surely be destroyed. Means to perish, kind of lose your way. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. So what do we see in this passage here and coming out of Matthew 6:11? Well, firstly, in this passage, there's a warning against a destructive disregard. A destructive disregard. So Israel is reminded in the passage here of God's care, his provision for them. He's provided manna for them. And he's about to lead them into Canaan, a land of abundance where they'll lack nothing. And there's a temptation for them, he says, that when they get prosperous, verses 17 and 18, they might just start to think, aren't you glad here in the Western world, we're free of this mindset. That Israel may just start to think, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But then remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. He warns them against pride, against smugness, as it were. And isn't that a trap for us in the West? That we disregard God because we have no need of him. And that includes us as Christians. Make no mistake, it is the culture out there in society, in our plentiful Western society. And I know there's poverty, but poverty is relative. And so we need to guard against being infected with this mindset that we can forget God. We forget Hebrews 1. It says this, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his word. Listen, folks, I don't care what's in your bank balance. I don't care how big our house is. We should not care how big our car is, you know, how well off we are in all of that. We are only ever one crisis away from it all falling apart. But isn't it good to know? He sustains, nonetheless, he sustains all things by his powerful word. Come on. And he'll sustain you and I. However, there is this warning here for Israel. It's a warning, I think, for us. It's a warning for our society. Verses 19 and 20, that if we will follow other gods, wealth ambition, self, our strength, if we'll follow other gods, the outcome will be destruction. Like I say, the word means to perish, to kind of just waste away, it all to fall apart, to lose our way. I think we live in a society that has disregarded God and it's falling apart a bit. We've lost our way. I don't come across many people optimistic for our society. Why? Because we've disregarded God. And let me tell you, that destruction, I don't believe, I think there are times when God does step in proactively and judge, even now. But you only have to disregard him, step from under his loving protection, and he doesn't do anything. He just lets you get on with it, and it falls apart. Do you know people that have done that? I have come across people that I just sense, you're being so willful here. You're stepping out from under the protection of God. And then you hear something that's happened to them or where they are in 3-5 years' time. They weren't where they were. And you think, you're no longer under God's loving protection and blessing. And our society, I think, has done that. It's what they call apostate. It's turned away from God. So we need to take seriously disregarding God. God, keep us from that. How do we do that? Well, we embrace Matthew 6:11. You see, this recognizes a daily dependence on God, a daily dependence on him to meet all our needs. This word daily, it may not necessarily mean daily. It may mean tomorrow's need. Give us tomorrow's bread or necessary bread. Give us this day our necessary bread. And obviously, it was literally bread, but as we're going to see, I think it legitimately applies to other areas. Proverbs 30, verse 8, kind of catches the element of this, where Solomon writes, "Give me enough food to live on, neither too much nor too little. If I'm too full, I might get independent," saying, "God, who needs him?" Brother, sister, make no mistake. This isn't just talking about people outside the church, is it? And there's some measures as to whether we've fallen into this trap. God, we wouldn't say that. I understand we wouldn't say that. But I know there have been times I've walked kind of in my own strength. And so praying Matthew 6:11, "Give us this day our daily bread," it recognizes God is the one who sustains. It keeps us humble. It guards against pride. And we can pray this for all areas of our life. Lord, give us our needs in this area. And let me say, if you feel these needs are being met, the response is thankfulness. Be thankful. If you look at areas of your life, some of them I'm going to go through. If you look at some of these and think, oh, my needs have met, be thankful. I'd say, Ali and I think sometimes people ask me, how are you doing? Let me tell you, there's sometimes people ask me that and it's like, how long you got? Actually, at the moment, we're in a bit of a sweet spot. Relationally, we're doing okay. You'll be reassured to know the pastor and his wife's marriage is okay. As far as I can tell, I think it's okay. Okay, we're doing all right. What? Kids are good. My job's all right. You know, I think the more we're thankful in situations like that, the more he can trust us with. And let me tell you, thankfulness breaks the enemy's strategy to crush your hope and trust. Because if you can look at stuff and go, Lord, I just thank you anyway. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for the good people. I thank you for this. And he's coming at you. You know, I'm still standing. So we can be thankful. We can ask for him to meet, yes, our physical and material needs. You know, those lower echelons of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You know, basic needs, food, clothing, shelter, wit. Lord, forgive us our needs in our society. Thank God for food banks, food bank in this town, Hope For in this town, meeting those very basic needs. And with that, I guess, needs like health. God, meet our health needs. God, look after people in this church, going through it, about to go through it. God, let doctors be at their best, finding out. I pray for quick resolutions, even in the name of Jesus, Lord, even on the back of this sermon. I pray for some of our brothers and sisters here who are waiting. They just want to know, what it is. What is it? And there's that you know, fearful place where we're not sure what it is. Lord, just bring breakthrough. Do I hear an amen for that? There's a few people waiting on that. Lord, move. Let diagnoses come and let them be encouraging even. Our relational needs, we can pray for this. Lord, give us today our daily needs in this area, relationships. Lord, look after our families. Look after our kids. Protect our kids. Lord, we're thankful for good friends. We're thankful, aren't we, for our husband or wife, aren't we? That wasn't very loud. I wasn't very loud. Lord, meet our financial needs. Father, thank you for my job. Thank you for my job with everything that comes with it. Thank you for our jobs. I don't want the stress of being out of work and, you know, unemployment. It's a curse. So we need to recognize that daily dependence on him for these things. And let's be present to the daily request. God sustains daily. If we'll pray this, we'll be able to live out Matthew 6:34. Jesus says this, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, and praying for my daily needs today will help, for tomorrow is going to have enough worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So we're to have this daily dependence on him for our needs. But Deuteronomy 8:3 says this, but at the same time, we don't live on bread alone. We don't live on the meeting of these needs alone, although I think they're a great foundation for us in life. You see, we're to thrive in life. We're to be alive. Someone said, I think it was Archbishop Temple said, the glory of God is a human being fully alive. And that's to be us. And particularly in these dark times of anxiety, if we will walk this earth just alive with hope and joy, it will cause people to take note. Well, how does that happen? Through, thirdly, deliberate discernment. Deliberate discernment. We wanted today's sermon to be about kind of listening as part of prayer, and I want to speak to that here particularly. You see, our greatest need is ultimately spiritual. It all starts with us coming alive spiritually. I think you prayed it this morning, didn't you? About, you know, we're not called to just be good, we're called to be alive and not dead. I once was blind, but now I see. I've been brought alive. Something's changed in me. The life of God's coming to me, and he's changing me from the inside out. He's changing you. And so this is about having a vital relationship with God. Let me ask you, I don't know everyone here, but let me ask you this. Do you have a relationship with God? Do you know him as your Father? Have you confessed your sins to him? Has he forgiven you your sins? Have you come alive by his Spirit? But then for those of us who have done that, is our relationship with him vital? Is it full of life? You see, look at Deuteronomy 8:3 again. It says, we don't live by bread alone, but on every word. We don't live on bread alone. We live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. I came across this verse, John 6:63. Where Jesus says, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of Spirit and life. The very words of Jesus are full of life. They're full of life somehow. They bring life. John 10:27, he's been talking about, you know, the good shepherd is against the hired hand who runs away. And then the thief who tries to get in the sheepfold. And Jesus says, no, I'm the good shepherd. I look after my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. And earlier he said, they know me. My sheep know my voice and they follow me. They hear these words. They discern these words. And it's the case, I believe. We've got a former shepherd here. I believe shepherds, they actually recognize their own shepherd's voice and they follow him. So we're to follow our shepherd by his words. We're to know his voice. Do we know what it is for Jesus to speak? I shudder to think where I'd be if there wasn't some measure of being able to discern the voice of Jesus. I'd have made so many mistakes. I mean, I've made enough mistakes as it is. But the words of life, the times when I've discerned Jesus speaking, have kept me on track, have brought life, have stopped foolishness, have life-changing decisions. One time I was applying for a job, and it looked, I hadn't planned to say this, I was applying for a job, I'd looked, it was a head of sixth form. I was a head of history department, and the kind of thing you did so many years in a job, and then you move on because you progress up the ladder. And I'd filled out the application form. I'd met the head teacher informally. He was a Christian, and we kind of connect. I thought it'd be good to work with them. And I'd filled out the form. I was already, the morning I was due to hand it in, I just felt a witness in my spirit. I thought, I'm not meant to do this. I'm following here what you do to get on in your career. This may be a word for someone. Maybe you're looking at, you know, what do I do? Work, this job, etc. Follow the Lord. What's your shepherd saying? Follow his leading. And basically, it didn't put in, and not long later, much to Ali's dismay, I was called into Christian ministry. that's another story. So, friend, listen. In this, there's an encouragement to cultivate a vital relationship with Jesus. We are to cultivate a vital relationship with Jesus where we seek to discern his voice. Where we, to change the metaphor, receive fresh bread. Not stale bread, fresh bread daily from him. Let me say that again, where there's an encouragement to cultivate a vital relationship with Jesus where we seek to discern his voice because they're words of life. And receive this fresh bread. Don't you love the smell of fresh bread? You know, broken. Oh, I love it. Bit of butter on there. Peanut butter. Daily. You see, to hear his voice and follow him will be life to us. To hear the voice of Jesus to you, to follow him, is going to be life. And I want to say this to you. You will not find this life anywhere else. You just won't. It'll look good. You may have the trappings of life. You may build an edifice, a temple to whatever it is you're building, whatever it is we're pursuing. But if it's not Jesus, knowing him, knowing his voice, following him, him becoming more precious to us, you will not know life. I guarantee it. So do we feel a bit stale this morning? A bit lost? It could be that you've not heard the words of life lately. Well, how do we do that? A few thoughts. Firstly, there's got to be commitment. You've got to, I don't mean just commitment to disciplines, although I think that's in there as well. What I mean is commitment to understanding, it's Jesus I've got to follow. It's him I've got to hear. There's got to be commitment to that. Look at what Paul said. This verse has just resonated for me in this little passage here in Philippians 3, you know, where Paul says everything else is rubbish, it's dung, it's poo. And stronger, he says. He says it's all rubbish for the sake of laying hold of Christ. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Hand on heart, can we say that of ourselves, or have we become a bit settled? Just chatting briefly with someone this morning, they mentioned something about settling, and it came to mind Terah, who was Abraham's father, on his journey. Actually, it looks like he's kind of could have been on his way to the promised land, but it says he settled in Haran. And when you settle, first it becomes a bit stale, and then you die there. Well, let's not settle. Let's press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of us. If you're a believer here this morning, Christ has taken hold of you. I want to dignify you in this. God has purposes for your life. You may, though, have to press. You may have to pursue. You may have to labor. It may be tough. He's going to refine you. Probably the more you press, the tougher it will get. R.T. Kendall used to say, the greater the suffering, the greater the anointing. I think there's something in that. Some of you are suffering now. I want to say, God trusts you. He knows what you can go through. We're going to pray for you. We're going to support you. And we want to see his glory be seen in your situation. So you've got to be committed to it. You've got to cultivate intimacy. It's a secret place. I spoke last time. Do you have a secret place? I don't mean a physical place, although it may be that. Is there a place where it's just you and God? I think it does involve time. I just don't think there's any way around it. A vital relationship with Jesus involves time with him. I just can't see it any other way. And I think it's daily. You can't live off Sunday. You can't live off Sunday. You're not going to eat today and then go hungry the rest of the week unless you're fasting, and I'm coming to that. Are you? In the same way, you just can't. Your spiritual life, your relationship with Jesus can't live off this. So what's it like Monday through Saturday in terms of you, us, cultivating that relationship? It's daily bread. And of course, every word that comes from the mouth of God, the most reliable source of that is his word, scripture. I think there are other ways. I think through his spirit witnessing to our spirit. But fundamentally, I think we need to be people who do read his word. I just don't think there's a shortcut to that. Or listen to his word, whatever. Get God's word into you. Okay. So we need to discern his voice because there's life in that. And then finally, ironically, there is a rhythm where these needs and petitions are met via denying the meeting of those needs. There's a difficult denial. And just briefly in the time that's left, I want to quickly just encourage, raise up, throw out the possibility of fasting. Fasting. I'm not going to say loads. I'm not going to teach into it. That's another sermon or two. I have just photocopied. I looked on the web, the World Wide Web. Went on the World Wide Web, Googled, and just to show what a technical whiz I am. And anyway, shut up, Paul. Just get on with it. Just from one church. It's just a couple of sides on fasting. You may never have fasted, you may never have thought of it, or you may want to prompt. It just gives some ideas around, you know, how to do it safely, the biblical basis, some things of how to pray, etc., etc. So it just won't take long to read, and it doesn't have to be some huge thing, okay? Just step into it as part of a rhythm. The elders want to invite you into, from now on to the end of this season of prayer. We did put it out earlier, but we just want to reiterate to join us in fasting. Okay, a number of us have already kicked this off. We're doing it different ways. Some of us are doing kind of a good number of days in the week and just having an evening meal. Some of us are doing, you know, a couple of days fasting completely and then etc. And some of us are doing a Daniel fast where you just kind of eat vegetables or whatever. So different ways to fast. But we are, like I say, we invite you to fast with us. That's not particular days. That's not necessarily even physically. There's plenty of spaces already to pray. Zoom, prayer room, life groups, etc., etc. But if this feels a significant time, let's fast. It may be. Well, why would we do that? Well, it's biblical. Jesus said, when you fast, he expects us to. But it's also, I think, particularly significant seasons or situations. Is there something you are looking at now that you want to shift, move, change? It may require fasting. It may require fasting. Okay, what are the benefits of this? Just again, just some thoughts on this from my own perspective. R.T. Kendall, again, talks about fasting as getting God's attention. I think it's good. Getting God's attention. I think there's something to that. I've found fasting, it brings focus. Just brings a focus. Like all of a sudden you realize, ah, this Christian stuff's real, isn't it? Like this is reality. God and Jesus and the cross and the Spirit, that's reality. All the other stuff is peripheral to this. Brings focus. I think there's an unusual power and authority when we fast and pray. Especially against the enemy. I can remember one situation not long after I came here. There was a family situation and we said, look, let's pray for your child. And it was a real oppression that they were facing. And I remember fasting and a number of us got together and we prayed. And I prayed and it felt physically like coming up against something really resistant, like physically. I was just on head on the floor, like I was literally physically pushing against this. We prayed, something else happened that was very significant in their breakthrough. That situation completely transformed. And that person, from a very oppressive situation, liberty. And now, you know, in a really good lifestyle. There's a power and authority. I've found this as well. Things just happen. Things you didn't plan on praying for. You haven't got on your list as to why you're fasting. But stuff just happens. God just does stuff. It's like he sees you, he gets his time, he says, I'm kind of pleased with that. Boom, I'm going to do this for you. You hadn't asked for this. How about this? Here you go. There's a freebie. It's a gimme. He deals with issues. Now, this is a bit more difficult. You fast and stuff just comes to light that, again, you weren't praying about that. Stuff comes to light, though. You go, okay. There's something to deal with here. Okay. Things just happen. God just moves on your behalf. Things accelerate. I think Ali and I have experienced a bit of this in this season. A bit of acceleration of some stuff. Just things falling into place. So I want to encourage you. Consider in the next 3 weeks, perhaps just one day. If you've never fasted before, do one meal. Just do one meal. Set aside the time. Pray in that time. Don't use it as a diet, though. All right? That's cheap. I mean, you will lose weight, so it is a side effect. It's quite nice, but it's not for that, okay? The idea is to pray, lay hold of God. So I want to encourage us. Let's do that. Let's see some things shifted. What are we facing? What do we want shifting? Maybe we could fast and get friends to pray with you.